Greetings, everybody. It is Brother Tupos.
And Sister Amen. Hello, everyone.
We are coming to you with our daily edification audio, and we had a great day today.
Oh, yeah. It's always a joyous day in the Lord. That's exactly what I said to the woman at the deli today.
Yeah, Sister Amen got to share quite a bit of gospel cards today. Maybe she'll tell us some of those stories, and we'll talk about that. We got a few things to talk about today. We hope that you're all doing well. Greetings to all you saints of the Most High that we serve. Mm-hmm. Another day went by, and it comes and goes really fast. Brother mentioned that. He said, it seems like the time's going by faster and faster. The older you get, the faster it goes.
Oh, I know.
We had a rainy day here, rainy all day, and it was kind of one of those hunker down days. We kind of like those every once in a while.
Yeah. Yeah, good timing, too.
Yep, it was good. Yeah, it was good timing
for
us.
Just lots of things going on, so yep. It just happened to work out that way. That's awesome.
Yep.
Just be thankful.
Sister Amen worked on a lot of edification for her sisters, and I had a couple of video calls with brothers. And so, yeah, it was a good day. We got to run some errands. I actually hit a thrift store and got some pretty good finds.
Oh, yeah.
Sister Amen was in a food store and got some really good finds. She'll probably talk about that, but the best part was the witnessing she did.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so Sister Amen, what's on your mind? Share away.
Don't
hold back. Well, let it fly. Let it flow.
Praise God, I did.
Let it go. You ready now?
Are you?
I'm ready. Go ahead.
Okay. Lots of zeal goes on here. I did a sister's post today, and I shared some of the witnessing. I forgot one. I mentioned a woman at the... Hey, what's going on?
Hold on a second. I got to take care of that. All right.
There we go. I talked to a woman at the deli. Well, every so often... I'll get us a small thing of, what are those things? Potato, little wedges or something.
Wedges, yeah,
like
potato
that.
Wedges.
You get like a really good bag of them for 97 cents. And
yeah, those are awesome.
Yeah. So we have that for our lunch or something once in a while. Well, I asked the lady for one and she was really, really slow. She goes, I'm sorry, I'm really slow. I said, that's okay, I'm not in a hurry. This world is going by too fast. She goes, how's your day going? I said, mine's going awesome. It's a joyous day to serve the Lord. And she said...
That'll get people's attention.
Yeah, she said, I like that. Well, we talked just a little bit, and I gave her a gospel card at the end, and she was, like, super thankful, so that was awesome. And then I shared some other witnessing things on my post that I did.
That makes me think about the power of the tongue, and you can curse or bless. And so you weren't...
Right.
You weren't just nominal, and you weren't crabby or, like, complaining. You were pleasant, nice, and glorified God, and she caught it. She noticed it.
Right. You know what? Blessing with the tongue.
Yeah.
Now that you say that, makes me think about it, because every time I go in the stores, and that's one of the things we do, I do it a lot, you know, because I'm always looking for discounts, but it's mostly to go in to do witnessing,
yeah,
looking for opportunities. And you know what? I look for opportunities to bless people with words, obviously, but it's with the gospel.
Right, the good news.
But then the words kind of open up the door.
Oh, yeah.
You know, bless people.
Our greetings
with
words.
And yeah.
Salutations
and, how you do it.
Maybe and openings.
Over and above what the average nominal greeting is of how you doing today.
I was sharing with a brother today talking about street preaching, and I was saying we got to be spirit-led. And the reason we got to be spirit-led is because maybe the spirit will give us things that we don't even know that other people need to hear, need to mm-hmm. be brought to the remembrance, and maybe that will reach them with something. So you might be walking in the flesh, and the Holy Spirit wants you to say something to someone that is praising to God that they need to hear that might draw them in. And so we got to walk in the Spirit.
Right.
Amen. I like that. Do you have any other...
Is it still my turn? Or?
Yeah. Do you have any other... information to share with us?
Well, I do have an idea on something.
What do you
yeah.
got? What do you got?
Yeah. Well, I was listening.
I just want to say, save some of your energy and your brain power. I got a question for you later. So, just so you know, don't spend it all.
Maybe
save
I'll
some
wait
up.
And get it right now.
Save some up and be ready to give an
How
answer.
Much?
You won't need that much.
Okay. One of the brothers, when you guys were talking, said, sin could be something you don't do.
Yeah, he was reading from James.
Yep, James 4:17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And I was thinking about that. You know, let me just put a few of these out here in a sister's perspective. First, I'll say, you know, not giving the gospel out when you had the chance.
Yeah.
Or maybe not correcting or rebuking a sister that you know you should have,
right.
You know. or encouraging or edifying a brethren, you know, when you could have. And I'm just going to throw a couple of the other ones out here that could be sin, you know, of opportunities to do good and you don't. Like, maybe you're driving and you're kind of in a hurry, or maybe you're just thinking about yourself and you don't let somebody in front of you at the stop sign, you know, like when you go to turn or something. Maybe here's one. This is so fundamental. This is something that gets me. If you go to get something from the store and you pick it up and you walk through the store and you're like, I don't really want this. And you don't go walk it all the way back where it needs to go.
Yeah.
That really weighs on me. If I go through like...
It's like causing disorder in somebody's store.
Right. And you know what's funny? I'll be walking through the store and sometimes I'll see something sitting on the floor like it fell off. And I have a hard time even walking by without putting that away. You know, picking it up.
You should go work at Walmart one day.
I would love to go face the shelves. I love facing, making nice and neat and orderly. But yeah, anyway, those are just a few of them. You know, well, here's one more. You could ignore somebody instead of greeting them.
Yeah. Yeah. Or like you said, you could say words of angst or words of sorrow, words of grief rather than words of joy.
Right.
Yeah, that was a good concept. I like what brother said. We were talking about repentance, and he said repentance. Everybody thinks repentance is what not to do, or excuse me, what you do that you shouldn't do. Mm-hmm. But he said, how about what you don't do that you should do? And the one thing that comes to my mind is Matthew 22. Love the Lord thy God with all your heart, soul, mind, and marks a strength. Right. If you don't do that, you're in sin.
Oh, right. There's so many. We could be here all night.
So it's not always what you don't do. It's what you're not doing. Living for God, obeying God, keeping his commandments. That's sin as well.
Right, exactly, yeah.
No, that's a good point.
I thought that was a good one for us to ponder on.
That is a really good point.
I might have to think about that more.
Speaking of pondering.
What?
We didn't even set that up. I was pondering seeking. I wanted to share some scripture verses. One of my favorite verses, we seek the kingdom. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then we seek heavenly things of God, Colossians 3:1, if ye be then risen with Christ, seek these things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. And then we seek God himself, Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
I like that.
And then the last verse I have, I was pondering the seeking, and I wanted to warn all you saints, because guess what? While we're seeking God and we're seeking the kingdom and we're seeking the things of Christ, guess what? There's an enemy out there. Yeah. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So as we're seeking the things of God, there's an enemy out there seeking whom he can devour. It's really important that we stay strong, we stay out of willful sin, that we stay out of our flesh, and so that we don't give Satan or the enemy any kind of foothold. Any thought on that, Sister Amin?
Yeah. You know, when you're in the flesh before you were in Christ, you always find what you're seeking.
Yeah.
And it's usually not something good.
Yeah, exactly.
Prideful, sin, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And we get that promise when we're in Christ that if we're seeking what's good and right and pure and true like him, we will find him. That was an awesome promise. I clung to that in the beginning of my faith, that if we seek him, we will find him in all his truth.
And by the way, all those verses I just read to you, other than the one about Satan seeking, it's all something we must do.
Yeah.
Seek. Everybody, we hear it in the street all the time. Jesus did it all for you. No, Jesus did what you needed done because you couldn't make it to the kingdom of God without him. But then he requires as fruit that we know him and serve him and love him. We're created for good works. We must have many things to do. Seeking is all part of that.
Right. Amen.
So, I wanted to bring this topic up too. Some brothers and I were talking about the gift of tongues. As he was saying, he's been witnessing to people, and it's come up a lot. And I just wanted to share with you, you probably know this, but there's a lot of false religion out there about tongues and all of this. Tongues has always been a known, intelligent language. Mm-hmm. Let me just read to you. Acts 2:4-8. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. It wasn't shada da da ba da ba da ba da ba da. It was known languages. Mm-hmm. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, "Behold, are not these all that which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born?" So I got to study that, a study on that coming up. But there's the Word of Faith, the Pentecostal movement, the NAR groups. They're doing rabid tongues, uncontrolled tongues, out of order tongues. Quite honestly, in most cases, by the fruit of these people and their doctrine, it's demonic tongues. Slain in the spirit, demonic tongues. They'll try to tell you that they have some type of a prayer tongue. My teaching's going to cover that. And just wanted to warn you, if you see people and they're speaking in tongues and they're not holy, set apart saints, come out of the world, come out of churchianity, watch out. They're probably into false spirits. And then if you see somebody speaking in tongues and you think, wow, they might be biblical, maybe they have more fruit, well, then it should be an intelligent language that is interpreted by someone that has meaning to edify the hearer. And it's not just something that is just gibberish to make someone think that they're super spiritual. So I got a teaching coming up on that, and we'll go over that in more detail. That's stumbling a lot of people.
Yeah, I was thinking about, I've come across a lot of women out on the streets. A couple thoughts that come up. One of them came over and she was, long story short, I think I have the audio up on me witnessing to her, and she walked away and she was babbling in tongues. And I said, "Really? Who's interpreting that for you?" And she just kind of looked at me and turned around and walked off. And I've had people, women come up and say, you know, "Do you speak in tongues and by the power of the Holy Ghost?" And I say, I'll just say this. That I have not seen a godly, holy, biblical sister saint of mine speaking in tongues.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen. It's all the heretical, worldly, carnal, false gospel, Pentecostals, Word of Faith, all the cult type movements. So yeah, my teaching will cover that. So tongues is something to be aware of. And just for the record, I won't go into it right here, but what we believe as a body of believers, we are not charismatic where we believe everyone speaks in tongues and we're all speaking in tongues. We also not secessionists, meaning we think tongues can never happen. We take a middle of the road approach, and I'll kind of explain that in my teaching on it. We believe the truth is always found right in the middle of the road.
Right.
You ready for the middle of the road, Sister Amma? And I'm going to put you in the middle of the road and ask you a question. I warned you.
Okay, can I say something first?
Yes, you can.
Okay, sisters, let's use this as an on-the-street training, okay? So if somebody asks you a question, because here we talk about this all the time, Brother Tupos and I do, and we talk about how you're on the street, and you just get done witnessing to that one, and then you're talking to people, and you witness to that one, and then all of a sudden you turn and somebody asks you a question.
From the mocker to the false teacher to the seeker to the little kid.
You got to get your mind where it's going to go. So here's what you can do. If somebody asks you a question and you want to think about it a little bit or at least get your mind set on it, you can ask them to repeat the question and say, "I'm sorry, could you repeat that so I can make sure I understood it right?" Or you can, when they ask you the question, you can repeat the question to them. And what this does is it gives you a minute to settle your mind and maybe give you just a little time to think about how to answer the question.
Yeah.
And so I just thought I would throw that in there because it made me think about that when you said asking
a question. So go a little further. So if they're asked something that they're not sure about, should they just make up an answer and just fake it?
No, of course not.
What should they do?
A good thing you can do is if you're not... if you're not very equipped in it on how to turn everything back to the gospel really quickly and somebody stumps you and all of a sudden you're at a loss for words and they ask a question or they bring up a topic, you could say, you know, "That's a really good question. I want to go look into that and I can get back to you on that.
Yeah, you could say, "I'll take that to my body and we'll see what the men would bring back and I can get you an answer if you're really interested."
Yeah.
That's a good answer, yeah. Yeah, it's always best to say, "Let me go ponder that, consider that. Let me go get an answer from brethren, and I'll come back to you," rather than just trying to wing it. Because wisdom, goes and seeks the truth rather than tries to just wing it.
Right. And if you remember that and keep that in your mind, that's kind of, that will help you, give you a little bit more strength to know that in case somebody stumps you, you have something to say.
It should give you confidence out there.
Yes.
Instead of walking out there saying, I don't know everything, you can go out there and say, I don't have to know everything. I can just say, I'll find out and I'll get back to you.
Or to not end up being speechless going, uh-oh.
Yeah.
How do I answer that?
Yeah.
I don't want to look stupid. No, I just kind of messed it up.
So
you can always have something like that.
Speaking of being speechless, are you ready, Sister Amen?
Are we ready, sisters?
I don't think you'd be speechless. Here's my question for you. Ready?
Okay.
Because of what's been going on lately, and we've had some awesome redemption and some reunity with some people, I want to ask you a question.
Okay.
What's the best thing about having a bunch of sisters every day to edify and have fellowship with?
So what's the best thing about having a bunch of sisters to edify and have fellowship with?
Yeah, somebody
you
said,
see what I just did, sisters?
Yeah, somebody said, what's so good about that? What's some of the best things? What would you say?
I would say the first thing that popped in my mind, it doesn't mean that whatever pops in first is like the most important thing.
And she didn't know this question ahead of time, by the way.
I would say it's just very encouraging because you know that sisters are striving on because they love the Lord more than themselves and more than the world. They're willing to die to themselves and serve Him. So that's very encouraging. It's strengthening to see people overcome trials and admit maybe their faults and stuff
and to
be able to help each other.
See them grow.
Yeah, and you know what else I see is people kind of, they can rise up as they see the different characteristics of people, you know, on what, how much they know, how much they don't know. Sometimes it's revealed what you've learned by seeing somebody, what they don't know.
Amen.
Or vice versa, what you don't know by what somebody else knows.
Yep.
I don't know that there's a best.
So kind of like a melting pot of different personalities coming together.
Yeah, there's all kinds of things.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one thing, I'll just say this. While we're on the streets, we're out here in the world, and our eyes get really tired and our ears get really tired of all the sinfulness and stuff. You know, we're pretty hard, what do you want to call
thick
that?
Thick-skinned.
Thick-skinned, yeah. We just blast through it. But you know what? When we're in the middle of some of these big areas and I see all the harlotry and all the wickedness of the men and stuff, I just remember I got godly holy sisters and godly holy brothers all around the world, even more than we know.
Yeah.
They're out there. And it's just refreshing to know that there are saints who love the Lord, who died for us and shed his blood for us.
So as God is our refuge, spiritual refuge, it's like saints that we know of kind of become like a refuge here that you can confide in, rest in, know, and you really have like a safety with them because they're one of us. They're the people of God, and we don't have to have our guard up against them.
Right. The connection is in the word and the truth. And even long distance, you can have that refreshing, even little bits of this and that. You know, we've talked about if you were in jail and all you could get was a little tapping on the wall next door. If that's all you got once a day, it would
or
be
a letter like, once a month. You'd be looking forward to that letter.
Yeah. And it means a lot because of who? Because we're all united in Christ. That's awesome. Praise God.
Yeah. Good answer. Good answers. Yeah. It's a blessing to have godly, holy brethren and to be able to hold everybody hold each other's arms up for the glory of God, like they did with Moses.
Amen. I love that.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's a good example for us to remember.
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah, that was a good question.
I try. Good answer. Hopefully that was edifying. I have an answer I have to give. A very dear saint in another country emailed and asked me this question, so I'm going to read it to you. This is their quote, and I'm going to answer it. What do you think of that, Sister Amen?
Awesome.
It said, I had a question about something, where in one of your audios, I believe you were talking to a man and talking about whether belief in Jesus or repentance comes first. I'm just wanting to clarify what you meant and teach and ask that you do think repentance from unbelief or a false inactive belief could come first. I do understand that all the aspects of the gospel are so clearly entwined and that it's hard to separate them sometimes, but I wanted to ask anyway, thank you. End of quote. Okay, so hopefully I answer this right. I think I understand the question. I do think the line between faith and repentance can become very skinny based on the situation, meaning very close, which came first. I get that. I understand that. But I believe that in general and most all the times that faith in Christ or God really precedes repentance, or it doesn't make any sense. Let me give you an example. Matthew 4:17. I think I have a couple examples here. From that time, Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. So they're called to repent, which metanoia in the Greek means a changing of your mind, changing of your ways. But what are they changing to? What are they changing for? And the answer is their faith in God. So Jesus is telling them the kingdom of God has come. They've already got faith in God. He's telling them repent and change maybe some wrong mindset they have, but they already had the faith in God. Does that make sense, Sister Amin?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And so, again, metanoia means change your mind, change your ways. That's the Greek word for repentance. So if we don't have faith in God or Christ, how or why would we change and what are we repenting to? Is kind of the question I would ask. And it kind of becomes, to use like a worldly example, you hear people argue about chicken or the egg, which came first? Chicken or the egg? Chicken lays the egg, chicken's born of the egg, which one came first? It's kind of like that kind of argument. But I think scripture examples are pretty clear that faith precedes biblical repentance, again, or there's nothing really to base it on. Let me give you one from Acts 2. Acts 2, 36, 38. Peter's preaching to them at the day of Pentecost. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Peter's preaching Christ so that they'll believe upon him. And when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? They're obviously pricked in their hearts that Jesus was God and the Messiah and the one sent. And then Peter says in verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So belief or faith in God or Christ, depending upon Old Testament, New Testament, preceded the act of repentance. And I believe that's the example that we see pretty much through Scripture. In fact, I want to go back. Let me look at my notes here. I quoted a Scripture verse earlier about seeking. Does this make any sense? Hebrews 11:6 in this discussion here. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a diligent rewarder of, or he is a, wait, that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Do you notice how the faith is right at the front, even in that verse? So hopefully that explains that I believe faith precedes biblical repentance. So you have an object of repentance to refer to. Does that make sense, Sister Emma?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Any thoughts about that or anything else that we've talked about today?
Well, within this, what you were saying, you read one of the verses that I love.
What's that?
What shall we do?
Yeah, I like that.
Because I was thinking about that the day I heard the gospel. I'd known about Christ at his death, burial, and resurrection. I got that at least from the church. Praise God, I didn't get anything else from it, really. And then throughout my whole entire life, I was miserable in my sin. I knew it was wrong, and I would try to quit. And so I already had that when I heard the words, you must be born again.
Yeah.
So I had already been through the first part of the process, kind of, you know, just needed clarification and more of the keys on there.
Right.
So that faith there, I had that as a child. And then when I heard you must be born again, what was it? I was like, my first words were, what do we do?
Yeah.
I knew you had to do something.
Yeah, I had a pretty good start as a preacher, because the first person I ever witnessed to as a born-again man was Sister Amin, and she repented. She repented and became a child of God, so I started off pretty good.
That day, I was given the best gift in the whole entire world.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Well, actually, two.
Yeah, amen.
One, number one, the gospel, and two, a godly husband.
Hey,
that followed right behind that.
All to the glory of God.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah,
oh, wow.
Yeah. That is awesome.
If anybody knew what we were like, they would be like seeing the magnitude of God's glory.
We were the worst of the worst.
Transforming people. Wow.
I always tell people, if they wonder why we're so zealous, it says, to whom much is forgiven, they love much. We were forgiven of a lot of wickedness.
Yeah.
And God's grace overcame it, and he didn't kill us when we deserved it. So, yeah, we're very, very zealous about it.
Amen.
Any last thoughts or probably scriptures to share, Sister Amin?
Yeah, you know what? Here's one. This is one of my favorites. I love this. This kind of reminds me of precept upon precept, like building a wall, a brick wall.
Yeah.
I love this. 2 Peter 1:5-10. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make ye that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see far off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure, for if you do these things, you shall never fall.
Wait, you mean we have something to do?
Lots of things to do. Lots of things to do.
I think I have a teaching on that very verse on the teaching blog where I went through each one of those words.
I was thinking that. I love that one.
I went through each
one
of the words.
It's so awesome.
Yeah, so do that experiment, saints and seekers. As you read the Bible, you need to repent and obey Christ or you're going to lose your soul. I love you. I got to tell you that. But all of you, as you read in the Bible, look and see what God calls us to do. The modern church system, the easy believism, has removed all that and said, Jesus did it all, just believe. But Old Testament to New Testament to the book of Revelation, all of it, all through it, you see that what we have to do in this blood covenant. Sister Amon just read another verse about what we have to do. That's a great verse, Sister Amon.
Right. Another thing we have to do, we have to endure.
Yep.
And you know, one of the things I think is really, really huge to endure out on the streets.
What's that?
It's not so much dealing with the mockers and the police, you know. It's the spiritual people saying, I got it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They constantly... this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. And you have to endure through it and not get in your flesh and get irritated about it.
The religious people are definitely the bigger enemy out in the world than even the mockers. Because the mockers, you know exactly what they're about. The religious people are just so hypocritical, and they're more dangerous because they have a false Jesus, a false gospel.
Right.
The New Ager and the mocker, he's got nothing. But these people have a false Jesus, a false gospel, a false spirit, and they're very deceptive to people around them. And so, yeah, we oppose them. We love them, but we oppose them even worse, even more, just like Jesus opposed the Pharisees as his greatest enemy.
So you have to do something and endure through it and try to love their soul and help them through it if they have ears.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
So anyway, just sharing.
Any last thoughts?
No.
That's
no,
it?
I guess so.
I was thinking about, because of what's happened and how we had some reconciliation, I was thinking about the word redemption. And it's everything that the Father is about, redeeming, redemption in Christ, his people, bringing people back, finding the lost sheep. He wants none to perish. I want to read Hebrews 9:12 as we close out here. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So think about that, saints. Everything that you do in your life should be about redemption. Think about that. For your own life, for your brethren that you're united to, for neighbors that you witness to, for strangers that see your life, everything should be about redemption. Because the only one who can turn people over, the only one who can condemn people to hell, that's the Father. We don't have that job. Our job is always about redemption. We can warn people about hell. We can tell them, unless you repent, you're going to perish. But and that's even working towards redemption. We want to tell them and warn them.
Yeah.
So just think about that. Redemption should be the goal of everything we do, whether it's a rebuke, whether it's Bible study, whether it's helping a brother or sister, whether it's loving your neighbor. You know, you help somebody with their flat tire, you shouldn't be just doing a good deed in the world. It's full of that. There's atheists and Mormons and Catholics full of that. The goal should be redemption. I'm going to help my neighbor because I love them. Then I'm going to give them the gospel, and hopefully because we met, they might become born again and save their soul. So think about your life and everything you do. It should have some aspect of redemption to it.
Right. Amen. I like
that. Makes sense, Sister Amon?
Yeah. Yeah, it does. Like you said, when you have to rebuke somebody, especially like us on the street with all the false so-called Christians out there, you want to make sure you're not in your flesh and trying to rebuke them just to either get them away from you or stop them from whatever they're saying.
Right.
There has to be that purpose of redemption behind it.
Right.
They might not have ears to see and ears to see. Ears can't see.
Ears can't see.
Ears to hear.
That would be quite a miracle.
Yeah, I know. The whole purpose is to do it for redemption because we're supposed to love our neighbor and we love God first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's not anger and hatred or anything.
Right. Yeah. So redemption, Redemption is the main focus of a believer's life because we're redeemed and now we work to redeem the time. We work to redeem people. We work to help each other become redeemed and endure to the end. So ponder that. Ponder redemption. And I think that's all we got for you today. We're hoping that we get another day tomorrow. We're going to be spending some time looking for our next preach event. And then we got a bunch of things that we want to get done as projects. I know Sister Amen wants to start doing things. She's getting, maybe talk about that real quick. Because of reconciliation, you got the chance to communicate with more sisters.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Via email.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And what does that mean? How is that beneficial to...
Pretty much what I was just saying before about, you know, what we were talking about, having sisters or more people to edify and encourage.
Opening avenues of communication.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think one of the things that I really appreciate about that is I know that God's being glorified when that happens. And to me, that's supposed to be our goal and our purpose. And I love that we're glorifying God as we look after and edify other saints in a Hebrews 3:13 way.
Right.
Exhort each other daily, lest you be caught up in the deceitfulness of sin. So I know that really encourages everybody, but it's really greatly glorifying to our Father in heaven.
Right, and it can come in many different ways, depending on the situation and stuff. From some may give a whole lot more than others.
Some 30, some 60, 100.
Yeah, but you know what? The love and the devotion behind it all for the Lord and for the brethren is still there. It doesn't matter. So,
Paul says not preferring ourselves, but preferring one another.
Right. Yeah. Praise God.
Amen. All right. Well, thanks for listening. We love you all. We cherish the true ecclesia. And what we would say to you today as we leave, Godspeed.
Mm-hmm.
And what else?
May God be praised.
Amen. Godspeed and God be praised. Love you all.
We mean it too.
Amen.